before it is. Today we are back considering that theme of God, the Creator, the one who is active in the world. And by the way, I did not ask God to mention that event this morning, but we can say, right? God is active in the world. Even though things don't seem like that. Even things are much more complicated and complex in the political world and all this. God is active in the world. And we're in the season of Epiphany, right? And most of us are thinking of the Magi coming to Jesus and bringing gifts. In Puerto Rico, by the way, Christmas comes on Epiphany. That's when we celebrate Christmas. Because that's when traditionally it's recognized that others recognize the Lord, Jesus, born. And Epiphany comes, as you know, the meaning of that word is to be enlightened, to have revelation. And when we consider and read the passage of the prophet Isaiah, it's hard not to consider the meaning of these words in the context of Jesus coming to the world and actually doing the things that he did, and especially presenting himself to the Father in baptism. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But Isaiah starts here with a declaration. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit within him, and he will bring justice to the nations. I don't know. If you hear these words, it's quite a statement, right? It's quite a statement because this is a statement of identity. It's a statement of dedication. It's a statement of fulfillment. It's a statement of commitment and purpose. And think about those words: identity, dedication, fulfillment, commitment, and purpose. We could be preaching on that all year long. Actually, if we had Bible studies, we could be studying the Bible and seeking God in those words alone all year, and probably a lifetime. Who am I? Who I am really? Not the fake one that I have constructed in my mind, but who am I really? In the eyes of God. And what is it that I need to be doing in this world, right? Purpose is one of the things that continues to be part of our questioning throughout our lives. So these relate to us directly. And sometimes we just don't see it because Scripture is it's hard, as Ismaelli would say, right? It's hard. It's hard to dig into. Because if we do it with our own minds, it becomes a chore. But as we invite God to speak to us, to speak to me, as we engage in this relationship, and we dig into Scripture, then we can bring in all the good flavors, right? All the good aromas that they have for us. And today, we have a chance to do that. And I don't know about what, you know, you see or experience it in your life, but this thing about appropriating scripture for us is I don't know, it's lacking in many ways. It seems like that's the next step. It's not only enjoying that aroma or that's the good things of scripture, but actually saying this is mine. And I think that lack of appropriation is part of what's hindering and hurting congregations all across the United States and beyond. And this week I had an opportunity of speaking to my pastor from Washington State. And yes, for many years I sat there where you're sitting right now, and I heard folks, right? I heard leaders and people reading scripture and meditating upon it and bestowing upon us knowledge and food for thought. And throughout those years, I came to realize that God was speaking to me, and He used people like him. He now is has a mission group that is called Not Abandoned, and what they do is they go to Thailand, one of the sex slaves meccas of the world, and they visit with girls that are on the streets, and they invite them to consider a way out. And they facilitate that for those who are interested in it. And open the doors and train and walk with them so that those who are motivated and seeking a way out would find it. And in that arena, of course, he has volunteers. There's people that do internships with him. And he interviews them. And when he talks to them, especially, you know, people that are younger, that are again, looking for a place in their lives and purpose, he notices that there's something that is lacking in most of their lives. It seems like they're like grasping at the air for something to hang on to. In many ways, it seems like they're lost. We have this body of knowledge, this scripture, Bible, that has so much stuff for ourselves. And he wonders, you know, what is it? What is it going on in our congregations and our churches that folks don't see what God is doing through His Word? Folks don't see their identity in Christ. They don't see that it's okay to struggle. They don't see that regardless of all the things that come upon their lives, they don't have to figure a lot of things out because they're already laid out for us. I guess it's a matter of trust. Another thing is a matter of the churches also teaching scripture. Discipleship. Right? Our church is called Christian Church Disciples of Christ for a reason. God. Anyway. Appropriation of the scripture. Bringing that to our lives and making it so for us. I don't know about you, but I pray and I strive to do that, to have that appropriation in my own life and to be a facilitator of that appropriation in your lives. And here we have Isaiah speaking concerning the Messiah. And although it can be hard to tell in a way, it is not only speaking about the Messiah And maybe we miss that, again, because we don't take the time to dig into it and to ask the Spirit to lead to us. It might, well, and also, time out. Also, prophetic scripture is mysterious, right? It's not as is laid out for us. This is what's going to happen, and you know, you'll see it as evident, and so on. Sometimes it is difficult for us to see these things. But it's interesting how Isaiah lays this out for us. If we see and we read the first four verses, the part that we just mentioned, we notice that he's speaking about that servant, right? And we know who the servant is. Nobody? Nobody? Do we know? Yeah, if you know, say yes, it's okay. All right, now, it's not a quiz. I'm not going to, you know, giving you the merits for not knowing. But verse 5, people, something happens there. It starts to speak about God, and from there in verse 6, it starts to saying, I've called you. Wait a minute. I've called you. Right? So there seems to be a shift from, oh, this is the one that I'm sending, to I have called you. I've called you in righteousness, taken you by the hand and kept you, and given you as a covenant to the people to do something, right? And this is the thing that happens. We always want to bring that back and say, I've called you, oh, that's talking about the Messiah. That's talking about Jesus. And of course, it's all up to him. Anyone? You see, talking about appropriation, it is so much easier to have God deal with his son and have everything happen through him than to say, wait a minute, maybe I have something to do with what God is wanting to do in this world. Maybe there is something that I can be involved in this project. It's again, it's so easy just to say, oh, this is what God is doing with Jesus Christ. This is what God is putting on. Oh, and you romanticize it and say, man, this is so cool that God is doing this on him, right? But if we read this carefully, and I've tell you, I've had to read it 20 times. And every time we read it, it's like, you know, there's something else here that I'm missing. There's something else here that I may not be getting. There's something here that I'm... And as a matter of fact, the reason why I said I struggled is because I wrote the sermon. And then I said, no, something is not right. Maybe I'm reading this wrong. But I read this sermon, I write this sermon, and I was thinking, well, maybe it is not about us. You see how that happens? Maybe it's really not about us. Maybe it's not talking about people. Maybe it is just Jesus. And let's leave it at that. And that way, I don't have to really worry about what is saying in Isaiah. But something came saying back and says, you know, wait a minute. There's an association. He's speaking to his people, Israel. He's talking to the people of God, to a nation. And let me read this again. He says, thus says the Lord, who created heavens and stretched them out and spread out the earth that comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit. I don't know, did you hear that? He gives spirit to those who walk in it. So you see, there's sort of a shifting that is happening here. He's telling his people, I am the one that does this. And I tell you, I do it not only for my people, but for all those who walk in it. I want to leave that spirit with you. And then it comes and says, I'm the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I've taken your hand and kept you. I don't know. I kept reading this and I says, are you talking to me? Wow. I've given you as a covenant to the people. And if we remembered, God had given a purpose to Israel. You are going to be the light of the world. You are going to be the ones that are going to spread the word. You are going to be the light to the nations. And he's doing that here again. You. And then it goes to the doing, right? It's important, identity. Remember, we talked about that. It's important to know our identity and to figure this out. But that's just the beginning. Because knowing who I am is just a very good excuse to doing what I'm going to do, right? To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison of those who sit in darkness. Yikes! Right? Yikes! So it is then upon those who are listening, upon those who are being called, right, to say, oh, wait a minute, maybe there is something here for me. And if there's something here for me, then what is it? What is it? And how is it that I'm supposed to function in that it? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Right? It is so nice to sing that. But it's a different story not only to sing that, but to say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life because I want to do what you want me to do. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life because I know that all the plans that I had in my mind about my life were all screwed up. Maybe I was seeking the wrong things in my life, but you have something special, right? Something that is going to be beneficial for this world. And if that is the case, please then let me know. I need to figure this out. It's called discernment. Right? And God has given us gifts. I tell you, this church has many gifts. And we see them in action. You know, when somebody accompanies another in their life's days, even though it's very hard for them to do that, and actually a big challenge, I think that that is part of what God is calling us to do. Opening ourselves just to letting that happen. Bringing prisoners out of the darkness. I think that then that becomes a worthy mission. So we know that God does establish Israel, and thus that means us. And when we find our identity, then we have something to do better. Let me just take this. Okay. Let me just say this. Sometimes we think that our identity is us. Okay? We think that it is a matter of saying, come to us and be like us. You'll be fine. About you, but I don't want anybody to be like me. I feel so good about getting rid of somebody who's like me.
Jesus comes to John the Baptizer and tells him, you know, I'm supposed to be baptized. John says, you're supposed to be baptizing me. How does this go? Because it's proper. This way, fill all righteousness. There's that word again, right? You heard it from Isaiah. Before it was. It is proper for me to do this to fulfill all righteousness. You see, it's not even about me, Jesus says. It's about the Father. And He has already laid all of this before for me. So if Jesus, the one that we should be emulating, is pointing to the cross, and this is why I said in that interaction, even Jesus is submitting Himself to God. Because it would have been easy for Jesus to say, yes, John, let me baptize you. Right? I was considering that issue with pastor saying, you know, it's incredible how we, the church,
think it's about us. When it's really not. Ooh. So Jesus, the fulfillment of God's promise, the anointed one, right? Messiah, right? The anointed one still has a job to do. He still has to agree with God. He still has to work that out. To connect with the Father. So he can get himself in alliance with the heavenly plan. Are you hearing? Are you hearing? And I don't know. Again, I think I have 30 seconds. Yes. If there's something that I hear in Scripture, and I've been hearing this in the past few weeks, is I have bestowed my Spirit upon you. I have given you all that you need. You can be equipped. You can do all that you can do because I have provided for you. And the thing for us is to even disregard the clicks and all the sound stuff. Because it's trying to, that's the devil, right? Right? Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things that is going to try to distract us from the aim. Life happens. And as we experience life, man, it comes. And believe me, for those of us who have ADD,
So, Jesus did it himself. Because I am the light, but because the light shone upon me. And that light has given me life. In that case, then we have something. Then we can say this. Verse 70 of the church is amazing. I can tell you what God has done in me. This is what he's done.
My prayer for God may bless you. Bless us with the power. God, you may show us who we really are. And help us to see what love have you for us. And what grace have you for us. And what spirit have you for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.